Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Another beautiful day outside here in Central Kentucky. Welcome into 1250 Sports Talk. I am Action Jackson Reams, joined by my father, Rick Reams, today. Want to thank our sponsor of the day today, which is Shamrock's Bar and Grill. Two fantastic locations, one over off Patchen Drive, which is just off of Richmond Road, and the other is in the Heartland Shopping Center. There we go. So encourage you to check both of those places out. You can watch all of the NBA, MLB, anything you want there. They've got tons of TVs and great food. So we want to say thank you to them for being our sponsor of the day today. In our second segment, we are going to be joined by Freddie Maggard, the former Kentucky quarterback and now current, Kentucky sports radio correspondent as far as football goes. He also is on the UK Sports Network with our friend Christy Thomas. So we're going to talk a lot of football with him in our second segment. Going to try not to focus as much on just the spring game and now where the team goes from here as they continue to get ready for next season. So make sure you stick with us for our second segment. Diving right into what has been a slow news day. There's not a ton to talk about here for the two of us, so discussions are going to be very key today. First of all, though, I do want to note, just in case you had any interest in going to see that UK baseball series this weekend against number 8 LSU, they have had to adjust that series due to weather, so tomorrow will be a doubleheader. The first game will be at 2 p.m., and the second game will start 1 hour after game one ends. There will be no game on Saturday, which obviously would be when the bad weather is supposed to come. And then on Sunday, that game is still at 1 p.m. So if you were planning on going, you had already bought tickets or anything like that, they did say Saturday's tickets will work for tomorrow. But interesting thing to note in college baseball, doubleheaders, only 7-inning games apiece. Do you think that helps or hurts, or do you think it really affects Kentucky when they are going to face another top 10 team tomorrow?
You know, Jackson, I don't know. The one thing I'm just shaking my head about is, since when did our weather people get good enough where we could figure out that they need to cancel a game on Saturday because it's going to rain, and they do that on Thursday? So I hate to be a skeptic, but if you have any outdoor plans, I would say now Saturday would be the ideal day to do it, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be sunny. You know, I don't know if the 7-inning helps or hurts one way or the other. I guess it gets both games over a little quicker for your pitchers, but you also have 14 innings that you're playing in the same day. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how this looks or how it comes out with UK being number 10 and LSU number 8. You would think LSU, even though they're on the home field of the Cats, may be a little bit of favorites in this. But again, I'm just mesmerized by our weather people. You know, the UK may want to look at our school system. He used to call school days off because of of a possibility of snow, and it would never snow. So can you tell my sarcasm is on fire today?
Yeah, it seems like you're not sure that that's going to happen, but I think that they probably just wanted to go ahead and make the quick decision now so that both teams could come into it knowing what was going on. Probably not the worst decision in the world, and we'll see if those weather forecasts hold or not. I guess we can move on now to a tweet that I really didn't think was that big of a deal earlier today that has kind of got set Twitter afire. When Coach Cal sends out a tweet today and says nothing that I thought was groundbreaking, said it's been a great last few days meeting with potential future Cats and learning about their dreams and aspirations, telling them what Kentucky is and isn't. And then he followed that tweet up with, "For those asking about our current signing class, we announce the entire group together when we are finished with the class and not quite done yet." So obviously they're still recruiting for 2017, which we all knew. So I'm not sure why this is a huge deal, but it does make me wonder, do you think he decided to send out those tweets because something's about to happen? Or, why do you think the timing of those tweets was?
I think, for one, he got tired of people asking him if he was done recruiting, so he just said, you know, I will let you know. We'll announce them as a group. But, Jackson, what I've seen is it's opened up a whole other can of worms, and that is, do we have more players that are leaving that we haven't heard about yet? So that may be the other thing with Sasha Calais-Jones. You just don't know what's going on in people's minds, although I just read an article before we went on the air that said they think that they're just waiting to hear from Bamba. They don't think about Knox, but there's always that possibility. The kid from Pittsburgh has already said he's not going to be announcing for a little bit, the transfer student. So, you know, I just think Cal was to the point where, you know, I'm sure that people are asking him, when are you going to just stop recruiting? And he's just saying, hey, we're still after it. And I would guess, Jackson, my thing is, as long as there's kids out there that are undecided, why not go and talk to them and see what happens?
Well, I think another big thing that he was pointing out was the fact that Kentucky had not officially announced that Jared Vanderbilt had signed with them. That was something that I guess some of those people might be worried about. I don't think there's any issues with the signature that he got. It clearly is just something that they want to do together as one big class. And Vanderbilt has been committed to Kentucky, so he's nothing new if he decides to when he decided to finally make it official and choose the Cats. So I think that had something to do with it. It also had something to do with the fact that he's been all across the country right now recruiting, not just for this season, but for next year as well, too. And I think this is a good way for him to just kind of update people on what he's been doing and what's been going on. And then you said something about, do we have more guys that might be leaving? I just read an article by Kyle Tucker of SEC Country. Nothing concrete in there, but he seems to think that Bam Adebayo gone, Hamidou Diallo very, very likely stays, but not completely closed the door on that. And then that Wenyen Gabriel and Sasha Calais-Jones will return next season. He even went as far as to say that Sasha Calais-Jones had turned a point or had a turning point in practice sometime last week based on what his sources told him. But we had heard that all summer long. I don't know why you'd get on that train now with Sasha Calais-Jones.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it, I read that same article. I think they said Sasha Calais-Jones didn't get off the bench in the last 19 games for UK. So, you know, hopefully a light will come on. Kyle Tucker also mentioned in that article that Sasha Calais-Jones never came in expecting to be a one and done. So, you know, from that standpoint, you have that. Wenyen Gabriel, I just don't see any reason for him to go pro. He hasn't shown enough of his abilities to do that. Diallo is the one that I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit confused about just because of the fact that no one's seen him play. I know that in the article they said that he could still go to the combines or into the workouts and not hire an agent and still come back to UK. But that would surprise me. But I'm with you. You know, I think Cal is just – the funny thing is that Cal thinks he might need to report where all he's been and what all he's been doing. Well, if you follow Twitter at all, every place he shows up, it's going to be – there's 40 tweets about it. So we know where he is. You know, Jackson, my only concern and my question, I guess, to you this year would be, again, with so many new players coming in, do you see a chemistry problem at all coming about?
I don't know about a chemistry problem. They will be extremely young, so they're going to be a team, I think, that's going to take a while to get things together. So you could call that a chemistry issue, I suppose. But I think it has a lot to do with each individual guy really finally buying in. And I'm not sure that they'll have a lot of issues working as a team, because a lot of these guys will have played together on, you know, the AAU circuits and these all-star games and things. But this is going to be one of the youngest teams that John Calipari has had. I don't foresee Bam Adebayo coming back. So really, I don't even know. I guess Wenyen would probably be your most veteran guy, quote unquote, because he's the one who would have played the most out of the returning players. But it will be something to watch. And of course, John Calipari saying that he's out on the recruiting trail, still trying to wrap things up. Another interesting note that shooting guard Mark Smith from Illinois has taken a visit to Illinois and has caused a bunch of picks now to choose him to go to Illinois and stay in state. Not a guy that I really care about that much. They already have Jamal Baker. I would prefer them get the grad transfer from Pittsburgh, Cam Johnson, but we'll just have to wait and see how they finish off the class. Only about a minute here left, but I know a lot of people still pretty upset about those football rings that Kentucky made for their team. And don't worry, Oklahoma State upstaged them very quickly. Oklahoma State's official record 10-3 last year, but they had a game against Central Michigan, a Hail Mary that apparently should not have occurred. On the official record, though, they lost. Stan Van Gundy, whatever his name is, put together the rings for this Oklahoma State team. They still put 11-2 on the rings as their record. He refuses to note that they lost. And I think that you can almost forget about those UK rings now, just how stupid that is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I find it very interesting that people from Louisville are complaining when last year their seniors had, "I've got your back rings made."
For the basketball team.
Yeah, their basketball. Yeah. So they got nothing to say. So, hey, it is what it is. Get your ring. Go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back here in our second segment. We're going to talk to Freddie Maggard. Lots of different things to discuss with football and where it's going to be going over the summer, going into the fall, which will be a big season for Mark Stoops. We'll return right after this short break. Action Jackson Reams, my dad Rick Reams, right here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120. Or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our long-term sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that with graduation rates 2 to 5 times higher than public universities in Kentucky and retention rates better than any school in the regional college rankings, that Asbury was named the number one college in the South in 2015 by U.S. News and World Report and has been in the top 5 every year since 2012? If a nationally ranked private education at an affordable price interests you or your student at home, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu. Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks.
You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that Action Coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the 6 steps to a better business instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what Action Coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my Action Coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local Action Coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, our second segment of the day here. Action Jackson Reams with my dad, Rick Reams. Want to thank Shamrock's Bar and Grill for being our sponsor of the day today. Two fantastic locations, one over by one over on Patchen Drive off Richmond Road, the other in the Heartland Shopping Center. So go check them out. Thank them for being a sponsor of 1250 Sports Talk. Right now on the phone, we have Freddie Maggard of Kentucky Sports Radio. He is a former UK quarterback and a guy who's done plenty of work now with the UK Sports Network. So, Freddie, thanks for joining us here on Sports Talk. First thing I wanted to ask before we really get in depth on what happened at the spring game. As a fan, sometimes hard to see a lot of importance, a lot of significance from a spring game. But from a player and a coach's point of view, how important are those games?
From a program point of view, it was vital. And the reason I can say that is because the game was on Friday night. And why Friday night was very smart because Ohio State and the other Big Ten schools that Kentucky competes against for the Ohio recruits had their games on Saturday. So having that game on Friday night was critical with the success. The biggest thing the coaches want to see relates to the number zero. Zero significant injury and zeros on the clock, meaning it's time for the offseason to start and everybody's in place and let's get started. So it was an overall a great event for the fans, and that's what it's for. It's for fans. It's for recruiting. As far as the game, it was a normal, typical spring game. I've watched several of them on television now. Have broken down several other programs' spring games off television after recording it. So very typical of a spring game. I thought it was a success for the University of Kentucky.
Freddie, this is Rick. You have a unique perspective because of the fact you played. Do the spring games, do the players get excited for those, or does that just mean the spring practice is over and it's time to get a little downtime? Or what's the feeling of the players during and after a spring game?
A little bit of both, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I would be lying. It's probably not a good thing to say, but yeah, players are excited that spring practice is over with, and you know, some of them will be going home in May, so it's time to get away for a little bit. But it's also an exciting event because you have a lot of the younger guys that are playing in front of the biggest crowd of their lives, and they're playing for a position. The biggest thing about the game that jumped out at me was the youth on the football team. You had early enrollees, Damon Davis, Cleavan Thomas, and others play at a high level. Boogie Watson played at an extremely high level. That shows you, along with the true freshman, the redshirt freshman, Kentucky's done a good job of recruiting, selecting, and developing players.
Freddie, the game, of course, had some different outcomes. You talked about a couple of guys who really looked great out there. I thought the quarterback situation was interesting as well. You had Steven Johnson with a poor game, but probably not all that concerning. But I thought Gunnar Hoke really looked impressive and looked like he could be a guy that down the line could definitely lead this Kentucky team to some success.
Gunnar Hoke is who we thought he was on signing day. And to follow along on signing day shows, et cetera, I've been incredibly high on Gunnar since the day he got to campus. Coach of my high school with 9 consecutive Division I quarterback signees. Some say he's the best of that crew, and that includes Brady Quinn at Notre Dame. So I was high on Gunnar Hoke. And if you remember a short time back when Mac Jones decommitted, took to Alabama, people were up in arms. Well, I was on several radio shows that day, and trying to tell folks in the nicest way that I could to calm down. It's okay. There's actually a better 11-on-11 quarterback on campus right now than Kentucky was losing. And Mac Jones, I think the future of the program is in Gunnar Oak's hands. As far as Steven Johnson, going all the way back to when I played, you never know if the coaches are telling these the quarterbacks, especially the starters, okay, the fans are here, we're going to get them excited, take every shot you can down the field. Also, as a starting quarterback, you rarely get the freedom of the score is really irrelevant to go downfield as much as you can. I think Steven got greedy. I think that was in his mind. I've seen it before with Phil Ranzel. I've seen it with me. I've seen it with Pookie Jones, and you go down the line, the starting quarterback rarely looks good in the spring game because it's the only time to really stretch your arm out and try to go for the home runs. I think Steven fell into that trap to his credit. After the game, he immediately gave praise to Gunnar Hope, so that just shows you the class of that young man. So I think the quarterback position is okay. I take zero evaluation or zero judgment from Steven Johnson's play in the spring game because I see things that I like to see from him. A quicker release, a stronger arm, faster decision-making. He's a few pounds heavier. So that's what I take away from watching Steven Johnson.
Freddie, the great thing about you is although you're a quarterback, you like to break down all the different positions on the field. And I wanted to ask a question about our defensive line. I know we have some players coming back and different things. But the one guy, and I'm really not harping on him, I just can't figure out is Matt Elam. Can you help me? What's going on? What has gone on? Have we lost hope, or is he coming around?
You know, you can't lose hope in Matt until his final game is over with. It's a strange body style to play nose tackle at 6'7", 6'6", 360 pounds. That's a taller version of a nose tackle. Sometimes the offensive linemen get below him, and I think that's been a liability. The nose tackle position in general, I didn't think played all that well on Friday night. That includes Marquez Pringle, who, you know, you can go way back. Marquez is one of the most improved players from signing day to mid-season that I've seen in a very long time. And thank goodness for Kentucky's sake that Marquez developed like that. But the nose tackle position, it didn't concern me in the spring game, but it wasn't one that jumped out and said, man, that played really good. Back to your defensive line question, I thought the tackle position and the defensive end position showed development, showed strength conditioning, and showed some depth. Adrian Middleton is your best defensive lineman on this team, played extremely well, 5 tackles, a tackle for loss. But right behind him was Cordell Looney with 4 tackles, a tackle for loss, and a sack and a batted and a pass breakup. So Cordell Looney is developing nicely. I was really, really happy with Calvin Taylor Jr. Right now, probably your third team defensive end, 6'9", 305 pounds. His stamina, his technique was all better. And Jared Daniel finally settled in at defensive end. Thought he played well. T.J. Carter, if you remember in the tag player bowl, T.J. Carter graded out higher than any other player on the Kentucky team against Georgia Tech. So there's hope there. And then Alvante Bell will probably be your starting defensive end. So defensive end has some depth and talent. Defensive tackle is in the right direction. I'm concerned about nose tackle. I do think there's going to be rookies to play, whether it's Quentin Bohanna, Phil Hoskins, Jordan Wright, somebody like that will have to play as a first-year player in order to have depth on the defensive line.
And, Freddie, my last question before I move away from the spring game a little bit would just be about the punting situation. Grant McInnis, the starter from last year, really struggled in that spring game last weekend. And you've got this new graduate transfer coming in from Columbia. He's an Australian, and we've seen a lot of Australian kickers really prosper. Are we relying fully on that guy to come in and take over the job, or do you think it'll still be a race between Grant McInnis and the new guy?
You know, that's a great question. We've seen tweets about the Australian punter, but until it's official, until we see him on campus, it's hard to really pencil him in anywhere. So then you have to go back to Grant McInnis, 5 punts on the white team, 35-yard average, 38-yard average for the ninth. That's actually a yard less than his 39.2 average during the season. So that is a significant point of concern. I mean, it was concern last year. I think it's close to panic mode right now unless that improves. How that improves, I don't know. It could be a new player. It could be McInnis gifted. He's strong enough. He's got a strong enough leg. We've seen him kick 50 yarders. But in that game time, sometimes that happens. and we'll see. But that has gone from concern to panic right now, from in my eyes.
And so that may be one concern that they'll have to work on over the summer. What are some of the other positions or goals that this team will have to get better over the summer as they get closer to starting next season?
Well, I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing. The strength and conditioning staff done a tremendous job. I don't think they get credited enough. Mark Hill, Corey Edmond, the players that needed to look thinner and leaner did. The players that needed to add weight did so. The player development, and especially in the conditioning, strength conditioning, nutrition, weight room, et cetera, the first onus is on the player. So if the player does not want to be developed or take the time to be developed, they're not going to do so. Two examples that did so would be true sophomores, Cash Daniel and Benny Snell. Both of those guys are leaner, they're stronger, they're faster, because it matters to them. So it's got to matter to the player before. But again, the strength conditioning has got to continue. Timing up, and in June, I think Steven Johnson, Gunnar Holt, got to get those young receivers and get them out there and teaching them the passing tree and the plays, et cetera, because I do think at least one or two true freshman receivers will have to play this year to take the edge off the defense and get over the top in the deep ball.
Freddie, is it too early to tell, or could you tell any major differences with our new coaches that have come in just all through spring and after?
Tremendous differences, to be honest with you, especially defensive line. Derek LeBlanc comes in. Jimmy Brumbaugh did a good job, did the best of what he could do with what he had. Now he's moved on. The combination of LeBlanc and Matt House as a defensive coordinator, I saw the defensive line attack and penetrate instead of read and react, and I think that's going to be something the fans like to see. And I saw some technical advances in the defensive linemen. Dean Hood, I think I saw the most advancement on the outside linebacker position when you have Denzel Ware, Josh Allen, Boogie Watson, all right there playing at the level. So they're playing at an extremely high level. And it really impressed me in the spring game. And you got to realize you're having Joshua Pascal, you're having Alex King, you're having more outside linebackers come in that are highly skilled players. So I saw Matt House, I saw Dean Hood and Derek LeBlanc. I felt and saw their impact in the spring game.
Well, with those true freshmen you're talking about, you said you think some will play on the defensive line, some will play the wide receiver core, but you just had a guy that I really was wondering about. Josh Pascal is one of the higher-ranked recruits that they brought in. If he plays defensive end or even outside linebacker, I'm not sure that it's a huge position of need right this season.
It's not. Especially when you see, Jamar Watson, I love him on signing day. The recruiting services didn't, but because Watson was a two-sport player, he's a basketball player, played AAU. Basketball was his direction, then he played, focused in on football. Didn't have any offers, and didn't get to go on the camp and combine circuit. So he was a two-star player. When I saw that two-star rating, I laughed. And because I knew I could just see the traits of basketball transition over to football. I think Boogie Watson is a classic example of what you're going to see with a large portion of the 17 class. Abdul Abadi Fitzgerald from Lakeland Christian High School has played 1 or 2 years of high school football. 6'6", 260 pounds. You're going to see him develop nicely. You're going to see Lynn Bowden, a dual sport player, develop nicely. You're going to see all these guys that maybe not tore it up on signing day as far as the evaluations and star ratings. You're going to see some of these guys. Look at two of the most impressive. Well, you have Josh Allen, a starting outside linebacker, rated a top five linebacker in the Southeastern Conference, was a two-star out of New Jersey. Boogie Watson was a two-star out of D.C. So, when I evaluate these players, I don't even look at the star of what they are. Obviously you see it, you read it, then you get your own evaluation. But, you have to let these guys develop a little bit before you pass judgment on it. And I think Boogie Watson is an example of what's to come with the 17 class.
Well, Freddie, we really appreciate you taking the time out with us today to really break down this football situation. I'm sure there will be plenty more to talk about in the future, and hopefully we can speak to you again soon.
All right. I thought we were going to get into the ring situation, but I guess we ran out of time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got a little bit of time if you wanted to go into it a little bit.
No, it seems to be the hot topic these days, and did a little research on that, and I saw several teams that lost bowl games have rings, right? You get the money, you can buy the ring. So it's up to the coaches and up to the school how they want to reward the players. Ole Miss got beat 42-3, had a Peach Bowl ring. And then people talk about the Governor's Cup on it. Okay, Florida State has state champions with a score against Miami and Florida on their ring. Michigan State in their bowl ring had a score against Michigan on their ring. I mean, I can go on and on. Then there's Final Four rings if you want to talk about basketball. I just think it's a bunch about nothing. I think it's selective negativity towards the football program from a select few that I think is ridiculous that adults would get this up in arms about a kid that the university made how many millions of dollars. You're going to give them a $400 ring and people are up in arms. I just think it's ridiculous. I think it's sad. Let these kids enjoy these rings. They earned it. Because you had the senior class like John Toth and these guys, their first year, Mark Stoops' first year, Kentucky was one of, if not the worst football team in America. So going 7-6 and playing in a New Year's Day Bowl, that's quite the accomplishment. I don't think a token of that accomplishment should be taken as a negativity. But, you know, it's just me, and that's my opinion.
Well, I think that was beautifully said. I mean, we've tried to say the same thing over the last couple of days, but it's always great to hear it from a guy who is a known figure with UK football and a former player.
But if my team would have played in the bowl game and lost, I'd still be wearing my ring. You know, so I can just speak from my personal experience.
Yeah, and it looked like the players have really enjoyed those as well. So,
that's a real shame that we see enjoyment, and then we detract from that enjoyment by bashing a process of giving them a reward from going from the worst team in college football to an above-average team, which takes a lot of hard work. This is not basketball. You can't sign one or two players and flip the script on a team. This is taking a long time of development. It's a coach's decision. So I think it's ridiculous that anybody be negative towards it. But, hey, again, everybody's free to their opinion, and that's mine.
Well, absolutely. And again, I think that was very well said, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I guess that will do it for us this time. So hopefully talk to you again soon.
All right.
Freddie Maggard, the former UK football player, now all of football analyst there for UK Sports Network and Kentucky Sports Radio, among others. Great conversation there. That's going to do it for our second segment here. When we come back, it'll be myself, Action Jackson Reams, my dad, Rick Reams. U of L is going to meet with the NCAA Committee of Infractions today. That's something we'll talk about, NBA playoffs and more when we return on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, third segment of the day today with Action Jackson Reams and my dad Rick Reams. Want to thank Shamrock's Bar and Grill for being our sponsor of the day. With two great locations in Lexington, you can get all, you can hang out and eat all you want. You can watch all the sports you want and fix all of those needs. So thank them for being our sponsor of the day today. Just had a great conversation with Freddie Maggard. Went in depth on not only the spring game, but where we're moving from after the spring game now with UK football. If you missed that, I will have that podcast for you up probably tomorrow morning. I've got some stuff to do tonight, but stick with me. You can find those at 1250sportstalk.com or on Facebook and Twitter, simply at 1250sportstalk. Before the break there, I teased, well, not really teased, but I let everyone know that Louisville there is going to be meeting with the NCAA Committee of Infractions today, may even be doing it currently, set for this infractions meeting. Rick Pitino, Tom Jurich, interim president Greg Postel, and former grad assistant Brandon Williams will all be speaking. It'll be a time for Louisville to try to defend themselves, specifically Rick Pitino and that Brandon Williams guy, both who have charges against them. Pitino's failure to monitor and Williams' failure to cooperate. And at the end of the meeting, the committee will decide if more penalties need to be handed down against Louisville. Now, we aren't in the meeting. We don't know what's going to be said. But based on how the NCAA has been handling other, you know, infractions recently, do you see any more punishment coming Louisville's way except for that self-imposed NCAA tournament ban the season before last?
Couple quick facts, Jackson. That meeting actually started at 8:30 this morning. It is ongoing. Interesting fact is it's taking place in Cincinnati. Buzz Baker, who's been on our show before, said most of these take place in Indianapolis. He's not sure what the Cincinnati take is, but it is ongoing. You know, Jackson, earlier on, I would have said I don't think they're going to do anything. I think they'll accept Louisville's ban and everything and be done with it. But, you know, Louisville got a preliminary word or whatever from the NCAA that was very, very, very negative towards U of L's response. So that makes me think that there may be a little more that's going to be going on than we know. I think that, you know, from what I understand about the NCAA or what I've seen about the NCAA, if the school can make a couple people scapegoats and get rid of them, then that makes the NCAA happy. But the thing I can't figure out is I can't figure out this whole UNC deal, which just seems like to be just a no-brainer. And then you get into Louisville, which, again, seems like a no-brainer that, you know, they paid strippers – to be with recruits. I don't understand what a one-year ban from the NCAA has to do with, you know, to affecting change with that. So I would love to see them throw the book at Louisville. I would love to see them throw the book at UNC. But, you know, Jackson, with this history, we just don't know. And the problem I have is who knows how in the world, how long is this going to take? Because, as you said, at the end of today, from what we understand, all they're going to do is decide whether there's going to be more charges or not. I don't have any idea.
Well, I think starting with the Louisville one, it seems like that one is going along much quicker than the North Carolina thing. Some people may say that that had been, you know, because the North Carolina issues, the fake classes went on for a decade or however long, and the Louisville thing was only a couple of years. But regardless, the NCAA moving much quicker with Louisville. And so I'm interested to see how they handle the Louisville situation to then see what they do with North Carolina. Because during the period of time that Louisville is getting in trouble for, they had a national championship. And now, you know, North Carolina is also in the same situation where they had a national championship too. And so I'm interested to see, will they try to take away those championships? If I'm really thinking about it, I'm going to say no, that they won't take down those banners. They won't act it like anything is wrong with that. But it's just incredible to me the length of time that these NCAA investigations take, like you were mentioning. I mean, it just seems so cut and dry. And then they just take and drag them out forever and ever and ever. And it seems like, you know, nothing happens. And North Carolina goes and wins a national championship this year while all of this is still ongoing because they're so slow and have dragged their feet so much on getting back these punishments. It's just incredible to me that it takes so long for them to decide what to do about it.
I think one thing that needs to happen, and first of all, if you ever want to read some interesting things about the NCAA, how it's set up and different things, read what Jay Billis has to say. He has a lot to say about how he just disagrees with everything that's going on with the NCAA. You know, and they would never do this, but I think, Jackson, one thing they should start doing is saying, okay, it's going to take us this long to get the penalties and everything figured out. For that reason, you can't play until we get that figured out. They'll never do that. That's the almighty TV dollars. But that something has to be done. You've got to get someone with common sense. And, you know, people can say what they want about Cal, but, you know, Cal has talked about breaking off and starting another organization, not the NCAA. You want to see people fall in line, and I would guess that these decisions will become pretty quickly if you get some powerhouse schools that say, you know what, we're not going to put up with this nonsense. We're going to start our own league and everything else. Then again, you're going to have problems with that. But, you know, I'm with you. I can't figure out the delay in this. You know, one team they didn't delay a whole long time with that I can remember was Syracuse when Jim Boeheim had to sit out all those games. You know, there's no reason that Rick Pitino shouldn't expect that same penalty. But as you said, and as I've said, when's it going to happen? I mean, Pitino may retire before this comes out. I don't know.
It's taking forever. And so maybe they'll have something that they figure out today or maybe not. I would probably lean on the side of not. They may say, yes, we want more penalties or no more penalties and then leave it for another 3 weeks. But we'll just have to wait and see what they say with that. Also airing out a little bit of, I guess not controversy, but a little bit of a interesting point that I think we need to discuss. Veteran Nike executive George Raveling went on the record and called LeVar Ball the worst thing to happen to basketball in the last 100 years. Now, my question is to you, is that an over-exaggeration or a legitimate point made there by Mr. Raveling?
First, I want to ask you, you're considering that I've been around these 100 years that they're asking
I wouldn't
about,
go that far, but,
okay.
You know.
Just
between you and Greg Horn, you can cover most of them.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Jackson. I am older than Greg, so I'll take that one. You know, I think I can answer that he's one of the worst things that has happened. I'm not sure he's the worst thing that's happened to basketball in the last 100 years. You know, it's just – usually when someone comes out with an outlandish statement, someone else will come to them and give them a chance to retract that or maybe explain it a little more. LeVar Ball, he keeps on spinning himself deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, with these things. So I just think that that he's putting a black eye on college basketball. So, you know, over-exaggeration, yeah, but he does have a legitimate point.
I also think it's really interesting that it's a Nike executive who has said this because, of course, LeVar is well known for saying that he wants a family deal for his children totaling $1 billion. Sounds like Nike's not very interested in joining up with that. And, of course, we still get to watch and see where Lonzo Ball goes in the draft and see if LeVar Ball is at all, you know, a problem when it comes down to his draft status. And all of that will be solved very soon. It's our last bit for this third segment. When we come back in our final segment, we're going to discuss the NBA playoffs last night. The Cincinnati Reds lost a game, unfortunately, and more when we return. Action Jackson Reams, my dad Rick Reams, on AM 1250 WLRT, 1250 Sports Talk.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our longtime sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that in the past year alone, Asbury sent individual students, groups, and athletic teams on hundreds of different mission trips to 40 different countries? If you or your student at home is interested in missions, cross-cultural travel, or study abroad programs while attending a nationally ranked, private, and affordable university, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, our final segment of the day here in Central Kentucky. Action Jackson Reams and my dad Rick Reams here for you. Our last segment, as I just said, having some issues today, folks, so I apologize for any of the technical difficulties and the stuttering difficulties that I've been having today. I have continued to enjoy these NBA playoffs, so want to talk about those a little bit. First of all, the Washington Wizards, which I have said if I had a team in the NBA, they would be the team I would claim, took a 2-0 series lead last night over the Atlanta Hawks, winning 109-101. John Wall puts 32 points up for the second straight game, adds in 5 rebounds and 9 assists. He was helped along the way by Bradley Beal, who had 31 points, and now the Wizards cruise into Atlanta with a 2-0 series lead. But the game I think that's really worth discussing from last night is the Thunder-Rockets game, where the Rockets end up winning 115-111, but Russell Westbrook, 51 points, 10 rebounds, and 13 assists, but he set the, which is a record for most points in a playoff triple-double, but he set the record for the most shots in a missed shots in a quarter with 14 in the fourth quarter. Hakeem Olajuwon says he's doing too much, and I have to ask you if you agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it just goes to show you, one guy gets 51 points and you still lose by 4 points, but he missed 14 shots in the second half. Is anyone else on that team?
Not just the second half, the fourth quarter.
Is there anyone else on that team allowed to shoot? Does Enes Kanter get the ball? I don't know. I didn't watch any of the game, but I did see, I read again about the missed shots and everything. Let me tell you one thing, Jackson. It must be nice to have the green light that much. I don't know what Billy Donovan's doing over there, but apparently not much. He just says, "What, Russell, here's the ball, go for it." But you know, I think he is doing too much. I think he needs to get his teammates involved in the game. I know he, with a triple-double, you have to at least have assists. But I just, it's just amazing to me. And I want to go back real quickly. John Wall's on fire. He is trying to prove something to someone. And whoever that is,
Colin Cowherd.
I was getting ready to say, I don't think he cares about Colin Cowherd, but it may be him. But whoever it is, you know what? Keep on talking trash about John Wall, because he is just tearing the playoffs off. You know, he had that one steal where he went in for the left-handed dunk and stared the kid down afterwards. I mean, he's just, you know, he's a guy that's setting a tone. And Jackson, you and I were talking about it. For people that don't know, John Wall left about $7.5 million on the table leaving Adidas for a shoe deal because he wanted to get James Harden money. And right now he's wearing generic Nikes to play in. So maybe he's going to go to Nike or someone after this season and say, "Here's what you saw. How much is it worth to you?"
Well, I think that series has been a lot of fun to pay attention to. The Wizards are just a fun team to watch. And to see John Wall to be prospering like he is also fun, because you can still remember when he was that fresh-faced kid at Kentucky, and now he's out leading an NBA team. And by the way, if the Chicago Bulls and Rajon Rondo pull the upset on the one-seed Celtics, that's who the Wizards would play in the next round. And I would like their chances to make the Eastern Conference Finals if that happens. So something that I'm really paying attention to is also that Boston and Chicago series. There we go. Rondo's been really great in that series and kind of reminds you of the old Rondo, even seeing some old Dwayne Wade in there as well, as the Bulls have pulled what is only the second 8 seed to get up 2-0 on a 1 seed in the NBA playoffs ever.
Yeah, you're talking about seeing an old Dwayne Wade. Did you see Dwayne Wade miss the dunk and get blocked
by
the rim?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's embarrassing. You know, Rondo has And I asked you earlier on in this series, I know there's only two games, but I just asked you, do you think Rondo's trying to make a point because of everything that happened in Boston and everything? And who knows his motivation? But, you know, I would like to see, since I'm not a huge Celtics fan, I would like to see Rondo and Wall go against each other just to see two UK guys, different, definitely different eras, different play styles and everything else. But I would like to see them play against each other and see what happens with that. You know, the one that I'm interested in, since Dwayne Casey's a personal family friend, just want the Raptors to do as well as they can with Patrick Patterson out there. That, you know, they tied it up 1-1. They have to go at the Bucks tonight. So, you know, hopefully they can get a win.
Yeah, that game's tonight, 8 p.m. on NBA TV. You also have the Cavaliers and the Pacers at 7 p.m. on TNT, which has Cleveland up 2-0, and the Spurs and the Grizzlies at 9:30 p.m. on TNT, which has San Antonio up 2-0. So not real interesting series tonight, but definitely should pay attention to that Raptors and Bucks game as it has some Kentucky connections. Before we get out of here, I do want to mention that the Cincinnati Reds lost last night 2-0. Amir Garrett, though, was brilliant. I didn't get to hear. I'm going to assume you didn't get to watch much of Amir Garrett. But the rookie went 7 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, and struck out 12 batters, which set a or tied a record with the Reds for most strikeouts by a left-handed rookie in you know, to ever happen. So he really looked like he was doing the job. But a guy I hadn't heard the name of in a long time, Ubaldo Jimenez, goes 7 2/3 innings and only gives up 2 hits, and the Reds fail to score. The rubber match of that series tonight at 7:10 p.m., and that'll probably be over on FSN Ohio if you would like to catch that. Last note, just a cool thing that I got to watch. Ichiro was in his last game in Seattle last night. He's going to retire after this season. Everyone was on their feet for his last at-bat. First pitch of the at-bat, hits a home run, gets a standing ovation from the crowd. His team, the Marlins, lost, so they could still celebrate because the Mariners won, and Ichiro had a good night. Always cool to see stuff like that happen on his last at-bat in the place that he became known as a superstar.
Yeah, and I think you can count on one thing with Ichiro. If he says he's going to retire, he's going to retire. He won't be a guy that comes back and everything else. So, you know, that's got to be special to him. It's got to be special to the community that got to watch him play. So good for you, Ichiro.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our show today. You'll have us one more time tomorrow. Action Jackson and my dad, Rick Reams, will be back for our show tomorrow. Join us at 5 o'clock right here on AM 1250 WLRT on Sports Talk.